should probably be trying to get out. But Madison, she's having fun, living an old-time radio life. Our explanation is done.
Madison is on the air. The Casebook of Gregory Hood. Tonight, the Petrie family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, brings you the story of the Derringer Society. Well, it's Monday night in San Francisco, and we have a date with Gregory Hood and his friend and attorney, Sanderson Taylor. Tonight's rendezvous is at that delectable backwater, the Happy Valley Room at the famous Palace Hotel. Let's keep our date, shall we?
Good evening, Mr. Bartell.
Hello, Carl. Good to see you again. Hope you're enjoying that case of Petrie wine I sent along.
Oh, yes, Mr. Bartell. Our customers love it.
Good, good.
Will you be dining alone tonight?
No, I'm actually meeting Gregory Hood and his attorney Sandy here. Have they arrived yet?
Mr. Hood is currently seated at the bar. Please, this way.
Hello, Greg.
Harry Bartell, how are you?
Would you like your table now, Mr. Hood?
Oh, no, not just yet, Carl. We're still expecting one more.
Very well, sir.
Oh, is Sandy running late tonight?
Actually, he went out of town on some business for me. We hit a bit of a snag trying to import a collection of rare artwork from Peru. As my attorney, he's gone to see if he can't work out the details.
Ha ha, the trials and tribulations of running an import business, eh?
To be sure.
Then who are we waiting on for dinner?
I've hired a personal assistant. Temporarily, while Sandy is otherwise engaged. Ah, here she is now.
Oh? Oh, no.
Okay, I just spent literally 20 minutes trying to parallel park that giant boat of a 1940s car, without power steering, I might add, on a super steep San Francisco street. Hopefully the guy behind me doesn't leave before I do, because his bumper is the only thing keeping my car from rolling into the intersection.
But the Palace Hotel isn't on a hill.
That's a whole nother story.
Well, I'm glad you made it. Let me introduce you to
the... OMG! The Sherlock sponsor dude!
Hello, Madison.
You two know each other?
Sure! We go way back to season one!
Splendid!
You know, Greg, I just remembered I have an early engagement tomorrow. I should probably skip dinner tonight.
No, you don't.
Oh, I just remembered.
That is the lame line every writer uses when the character is uncomfortable and wants to make an excuse to leave. But have you ever had anyone say that in real life? No, you haven't. So suck it up. We're having dinner.
Excuse me, Mr. Hood. Mr. Taylor is on the telephone for you. He says it's urgent.
That's Sandy. There must be an issue with the art collection. Madison, you were part of my latest adventure. Why don't you tell Mr. Bartell all about it while I get things sorted out with Peru?
But, Greg...
I'll be back.
Talk about convenient writing for the plot.
Bartender! Over here!
Madison, the Palace Hotel is a high-end establishment.
Good. That means the booze will be top shelf.
You wish to order, miss?
Yeah. Give me your best whiskey. But Kentucky-made, okay? None of that Scottish whiskey. I've had my fill of Scotland for a while. You feel me, right, sponsor dude? After that Edinburgh trip with Sherlock? Remember?
Yes, my member remembers it well.
Oh, the golf. I guess I swing harder than I thought.
Whiskey. Anything for you, sir?
Come on, sponsor dude, order something. You're buying.
The strongest drink you have, bartender, and make it a double.
Right away.
All right, Madison, just what are you doing here?
I don't know how any of this works. I just jump around to different shows.
Oh, really? So you just happened to show up on The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, and now you just happen to be here on the Casebook of Gregory Hood? The two shows my company sponsors?
Chill out, sponsor dude.
And my name is Harry Bartell, not sponsor dude.
Here are your drinks.
I'll have another, and keep them coming.
Certainly, sir.
Wow, somebody woke up on the wrong side of the cable car this morning.
You have a great voice, they said. You should work as a radio sponsor, they said.
Oh, I hear you on that. I was a brand ambassador for this wet dog food. I spent hours in Petco with dogs coming up and peeing on my display table. But the worst was the free samples. I'm sorry, but that stuff did not taste like chicken or rice.
Your drink, sir.
Leave the bottle.
Sweet! Refills! Okay, not sharing. Why don't I just tell you the story from Gregory Hood's casebook? Great! It's like dealing with those dogs at Petco. Alrighty, it all started when Greg wanted me to go with him to this little club meeting. It always amazes me how white dudes in the past had private clubs they belonged to. Like, women and people of color weren't allowed pretty much anywhere. But oh, the white guys still needed to create more places where only they were allowed. Okay, getting to the point. So, he brings me along this one night. So, where are you dragging me?
My club, the Derringer Society.
Derringer? So what are you guys, a bunch of gun nuts? This some sort of early NRA?
Far from it. Surely you remember those wonderful early semi-scientific yarns about Dr. Derringer.
Semi-scientific? Was Dr. Derringer and early Dr. Oz telling women to eat placenta hormones for weight loss? That's a real thing. I'm not making that up. Now I have a hard time watching Call the Midwife. Ugh.
No, nothing like that. Dr. Derringer's tales were fictional science stories from the 1800s, and if you reread them, you'll realize that they predict just about everything from rockets to the atomic bomb.
Oh, so old-timey Star Trek. Although, did Star Trek predict the future or shape the future?
Well, I've been a Derringer fan for a great many years, so it was only natural that I rounded up a few old cronies here in town who were equally interested and formed a society.
That sounds like a big pile of boring. Why are you making me go?
Well, for one thing, this is the first night we're breaking from our long-held tradition.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, settle down. Fellow members of the Derringer Society, you will have already noticed that we have violated our long-standing stag rule. We have a lady among us.
For shame!
No, Chester. We've broken the precedent for a very particular reason.
Well, look at that! Gregory brought one of his own.
Yes, thank you, Greg.
Oh, great! This feels like that special invitation I got to that frat house party. I drained 2 cans of pepper spray that night, and it wasn't into their eyes.
Come along, Madison. Let's take our seats.
I don't know. You sure there's not a cake you want me to jump out of?
All right. I don't have to remind any of you that the fabulous Dr. Derringer, that scientific giant, was especially devoted to the tricks played by time. Well, our guest tonight is Miss Julia Hayes. She claims to perform exactly the sort of time travel prophecy that the great Derringer foretold.
Time travel? I'm not alone?
Miss Hayes, gentlemen, claims to be able to predict future events. Dr. Barton, our psychiatrist member, has been examining Miss Hayes today, and I shall ask him to introduce her.
Time travel! Is that what you brought me? Because I'm from the future?
Shh, Madison, Dr. Barton is going to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow members, I must preface my remarks by stating that if I appear to speak of our guest in a slightly clinical manner, I do so with her full permission. Am I right, Miss Hayes?
Yes, Dr. Barton. You may say anything you wish.
Thank you, Miss Hayes. Did you have something you'd like to say, miss?
Hi, I'm Madison, and I'm a time traveler.
Hi, Madison.
Madison, would you sit down? We're here to learn more about Dr. Barton's discovery.
Give the little girl a break, Greg. This is probably the most excitement she's had outside of her canasta club.
We'll see if you're still laughing when I come back with my pepper spray.
Please, gentlemen, go on, Dr. Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Felton. This afternoon, I spent some 2 hours examining our guest, and by all known psychological tests, she is simply normal, perhaps a trifle below average mentality.
Rude.
But her record has already established the fact that she can often predict future events with surprising accuracy, quite above the laws of chance. And now, gentlemen, Miss Hayes will answer any of your questions. Yes, Madison, I think yours was the first hand.
Okay, hi. So excited to be here. Thanks for taking my question. What decade are you from?
What kind of a question is that, Madison?
I'm just trying to figure out if she's from my future or your future. Because if she's from my future, she might know how to get me home.
I do not understand the question.
Why don't we try someone else? Mr. Felton.
Thank you. Miss Hayes, may I ask you, are there any outstanding events that you predicted in the past?
On May 4th, 1937, I predicted that 2 days later, the German airship Hindenburg would be destroyed. I predicted the death of both Mussolini and his son-in-law, Count Ciano. I was right as to both date and time. I am seldom wrong.
How do you explain your unusual ability?
She already lived through it as a time traveler. Duh. Go ahead, ask me about future events. Like 9/11 or COVID or when Taylor Swift dropped her first album.
I cannot explain it. It is beyond my understanding. It is a gift. When I let my mind go blank, I can see into the future.
Wait, are you a time traveler or a psychic?
Miss Hayes, can you tell me what horse is going to win in the second race at Arlington tomorrow?
I can tell you that the Chicago Cubs won't win the World Series until 2016. And then go right back to losing again.
Mr. Chester, Miss Hayes is our guest.
Sorry, Richard. I beg your pardon, Miss Hayes. Let me ask you a serious question. Are you able to see into the future at will?
Yes. If I make my mind a blank, I can usually see into the immediate future.
Would you consider making a prediction for us now?
I will try. I can promise nothing, but I will try.
I got predictions for you. It's 1946, right? Korea, Vietnam, Iraq. God, why does every history class teach nothing but war?
Monday. It is Monday at 8:15. I see the future, but not far ahead. The same night, 3 hours from now, at 11:15 tonight, I see a small man. A bald man with glasses. His name is Chester.
Now look, a joke's a joke.
Quiet, Mr. Chester. Don't spoil it. She's still talking.
Tonight, Mr. Chester, at exactly 11:15, you will be murdered.
You want murder? I got murder. JFK, Martin Luther King Jr., O.J. Simpson! I mean, believe what you want, he did or he didn't. But can you imagine watching Naked Gun when it first came out and someone leans over to you and says, "Dude, wait till you hear what happens with OJ."
I think that was one of the most emotional meetings we've ever had at the Derringer Society.
Oh, big whoop. You guys all got a chubby for a sideshow fortune teller.
It certainly broke up in a hurry when she predicted the murder of Chester.
I can tell you real events that are actually gonna happen. And all that stuff about it's dangerous to tell people in the past about the future is clearly nonsense ever since Doc Brown opened that envelope.
I haven't quite made up my mind about Miss Hayes. Time traveling into the future is all very well in the Derringer stories, but in real life?
Okay, you guys are totes confusing things. She had a vision of the future, which makes her a psychic. She did not physically travel through time. I did, which makes me a time traveler.
I don't know. I think life's complicated enough in a straight line these days.
You're not listening to me. Keep ignoring the predictions of the soothsayer that always go so well for everyone in Greek mythology.
Mr. Hood! Hey, Greg! Wait for me!
It's Alfred Chester.
Dude looks spooked.
Glad I caught up with you before you left.
What's wrong, Chester? Are you taking that prediction seriously?
OMG, you cannot believe psychics. They make up stuff and tell you what you want to hear.
You think I want to hear that I'm going to be murdered?
Maybe you should have asked her about your love life.
To me, it sounded more like a threat than a prediction. My reason tells me it's foolish to take the thing seriously, but I did make that stupid remark about the horse races.
You also called me a little girl and made that canasta joke. Kind of made me want to murder you.
She's a weird woman. She may have some odd powers that we know nothing about. Greg, what do you think I ought to do? Get the police?
No, I think it'd be a little hard to convince them that you were in danger. Look, it's 11:15 now. Would you like us to come home with you until after her 11:15 deadline has passed?
I'm guessing you live alone, because I can't imagine any woman signing on for a lifetime of you.
I'm married. Ugh, what would Alice think? I'm sorry, Greg. I didn't mean to bother you. I'm probably being extremely stupid. Well, thanks for this little talk. I feel a lot better. Good night.
Good night, Chester. Poor man. That Hayes woman really has him frightened.
He's a douche nozzle. I'm not saying he deserves to be murdered, but a good voodoo doll with pins in the crotch might be pertinent. So, you don't need to be psychic to guess what happened next. 11:15 on the dot, stabby stabby, Alfred Chester, dead.
Bartender! Another!
Dude, we're only in the first act. You may want to slow your roll a bit. You're the sponsor. Aren't you on the clock?
Sponsor? Ha!
Sir, is there something you needed?
Tell me this, bartender. You actually sell any of that Petri wine swill?
Dude, you're on a hot mic.
I beg your pardon?
Forget it. Bring me more of this.
Yes, bring him another bottle. But if it takes you a really long time to find one, that's okay.
Certainly. I'll go look for one.
Okay, sponsor dude.
Harry!
Harry? Look at me, continuing the story. Okay, it's the next morning, and Greg and I were in his store. Come on, let's focus on staying on the stool.
Harry!
Wow, this is hard. I'm not good at being the sober friend. All right, listening to my words. So, the door opens, and in walks Lieutenant Stan Silver.
Morning, Greg.
Top of the morning to you, Stan.
Top of the morning? Was that a dig at all cops being Irish? That's racist. No, not racist. Regionalist? It's offensive and not very nice.
Sorry to interrupt you while you're with a customer.
Not a customer, Stan. My assistant, while Sandy's out of town. This is Madison Standish. Madison, Lieutenant Stan Silver.
Miss Standish.
Sup?
What brings you to my store this early in the morning, Stan? Could we interest you in a small Ming vase for Mrs. Silver? Or we have a nice line in Inca headdresses. You'd look rather fetching in one.
Yeah, look around. See what pillaged artifacts ripped from their countries of origin. Might make a nice knick-knack on your coffee table.
Greg, I'm here on business. You saw Alfred Chester last night, didn't you?
Sure, we both did. Why?
Well, late last night he was murdered.
Wow, score one for Miss Hayes.
What time did it happen, Stan?
His wife said it was exactly 11:15.
Down to the minute! That's a pretty impressive prediction. I might have to have her read my tarot cards. The last reading I had, the fortune teller was super generic. She was just like, you will go on a long journey far, far away. Whatever.
Prediction? What prediction are you talking about, Miss Standish?
Chester attended a meeting of the Derringer Society last night. A woman by the name of Julia Hayes went into a sort of trance, predicted Chester would be murdered at exactly 11:15.
Then that's a woman I've got to talk to.
We'll all go and talk to her, Stan.
You think you know where we could find this Hayes woman?
I believe I do.
Great, we could rideshare. The copper could drive.
Copper is actually an offensive term, Madison.
You're going to wish police were just called coppers after hip-hop artists start writing about them.
Ah, Mr. Hood, do come in.
Dr. Barton, this is Lieutenant Silver.
Pleased to meet you.
How do you do?
And I'm Madison. Remember from the meeting last night with Julia Hayes? I just want you to know I am very weary of psychiatrists.
Miss Hayes, you mean psychics?
No, I mean you, psychiatrists. I don't appreciate anyone telling me to take responsibility for my own actions. That's victim blaming.
Speaking of Miss Hayes, Dr. Barton, do you know where we can find her?
Yeah, she's in my office right now. I've been examining her again this morning, and I've uncovered a very interesting fact. Miss Hayes was left-handed in her childhood, but she'd been forcibly trained into right-handedness.
OMG! You people did that in the past! You psychiatrists thought that children being left-handed caused stuttering. You beat those poor kids into submission when all they wanted was a pair of scissors they could operate.
I didn't do that. I study its effects. Forcible conversion often has unpredictable psychological results, though I'll confess, never precisely like hers.
Left-handed, huh?
That interest you, Stan?
Might get her off the hook. Alfred Chester was stabbed from behind by a medium-sized right-handed person.
Stabbed?
Murdered. No fingerprints, no clues. But since your Miss Hayes had predicted his demise, I'd like to speak with her.
Her prediction came true?
At exactly 11:15, like she said. With those kind of mad skills, she really should be picking lottery numbers. Seriously, why do psychics need my money to access their gift and then never use their gift to cash in on Powerball?
Well, one thing I can assure you, Miss Hayes did not commit the crime herself.
How do you know?
Because I brought her back here after the meeting last night. I was working with her until 12:30.
I still want to speak with her.
I'll call her in. Come in.
Yes, doctor.
They want to ask you a few questions.
What questions?
How did you nail that prediction? And why haven't you won the lottery?
Is that another question like the horse races?
Horse races?
A joke Chester made to her.
I don't need you to tell me about sports outcomes. 1946, the Cardinals will win the World Series. Yeah, that's called a brother who would lock me in a closet until I got all of his sports trivia right.
If I may, Miss Standish. Miss Hayes, I understand you predicted the murder of Mr. Alfred Chester last night.
Yes.
We already told you that.
It happened, of course.
Yes.
I knew it would.
How do you account for the fact that you predicted it 3 hours before it happened?
She's a psychic. Are you not paying attention?
I predict you're going to be waiting in the car if you keep interrupting.
And I can ensure that that prediction comes true.
I hope you both end up with daughters in the ERA who marry hippies.
To answer your question, I cannot account for it. It is a gift that I cannot explain. I can see things in the immediate future. I can tell you what is to happen today before the day is out. I can tell you...
Her mind is blanking out again. What can you tell us, Miss Hayes?
I see a large man. A red-faced man. His name is... Felton.
Felton? Wasn't that the dude running the meeting last night?
Shh.
I'm sorry I don't remember the names of all of your lodge brothers.
Don't worry. I'm sure no more women will be allowed back in our meetings after this.
Dude, Julia, is Felton gonna die too?
Yes. He will die tonight. He too will be murdered.
I don't know. You might need some women at those meetings. Seems like you're burning through members.
Hey, now while I'm working the case, this is one murder that isn't gonna take place.
Oh my God, you can't change future events. That's time travel 101. I mean, look at me. I have all this knowledge of major, horrible events that are gonna happen. If I could change things, it'd be pretty irresponsible of me not to try, but to instead just goof around in these old-timey radio shows. So the lieutenant called Felton over and over again, begging him to let the cops give him police protection. But the dude was so full of himself, he refused.
Excuse me, sir? The management has requested you not sleep on the bar.
Wow, if this place isn't all hoity-toity, just where else do you expect him to pass out, huh? The urinals in the john?
Perhaps if... he could balance his head upright with the aid of his elbow on the bar.
Come on, Harry. Let's sit up. Come on. Dude, you're a lightweight with the booze, but you weigh a ton. Bartender, get him another drink.
Don't you think he's had enough?
Drinking will keep him moving. Trust me, it's how I avoided passing out at frat parties and waking up in their hall of honor.
Oh, man.
Something... less potent, perhaps?
Just water it down.
All right.
Okay, Harry, gotta stay awake here. Let me continue the story. The Felton guy totally blew off the cop's warning. And you know what always happens in these shows when the person refuses police protection? Dead. So, the next day, Greg and I go down to the station to see the lieutenant. He's already brought that Julia Hayes in for more questioning.
Gregory? I blame myself for Mr. Felton's murder last night.
Oh, you did your best, Stan.
Well, you could have gone over there and actually talked to him instead of just calling. What are you trying to do? Turn police work into a remote work-from-home job? Are you gonna Zoom call interrogations now? Where were you on the night of the murder? And don't tell me Florida. I know those palm trees are just a virtual background.
Stan tried to force him to take protection, Madison, but Felton wouldn't hear of it.
Let's see what Julia Hayes has to say about this one. She's waiting outside. Come in, please, Miss Hayes.
Very well, Lieutenant.
Major props, Julia. Two for two.
Now, Miss Hayes, I want to know how you knew this latest murder was going to take place.
I cannot tell you how I knew.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Madison.
She has got to stop giving her talent away for free. There are serious bucks to be made here.
Well, this is a police investigation now. One coincidence I can take, but not two. And I can't write on the police report that you knew about the murder because you could see into the future. Why not tell me the truth?
I am telling the truth. When my mind is a blank, I have the ability to see into the future.
Gregory, you see if you can get anything out of her.
Miss Hayes, I understand about your being able to travel into the future.
Again, not a time traveler. You clearly don't value actual time travelers because you keep ignoring me every time I try to tell you I'm from the future. How about this? In 1958, you guys here in San Francisco will get a baseball team. The Giants. Of course, the Giants won't win the World Series until 2010. But damn, I'm on a roll with this baseball history. You got a pub trivia night around here?
Greg, should I make Madison wait in your car?
We took a streetcar.
Then maybe you could sit on the tracks until the next one arrives.
Miss Hayes, surely you must be able to remember more about what you saw when you had that vision. Try and think back.
Think back? Back? No, I can only see forward. Forward. Forward.
Her mind's blanking out again.
Notice she's still right here. She hasn't traveled into the future.
Miss Hayes, what do you see?
I see another death in the immediate future. Sudden death. The woman is blonde and loud. Her name is Madison Standish.
Me? She said the woman was loud. I'm not loud.
You're also not blonde.
Hey, fair. So it's not me then.
It's you.
Damn.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Turn your dial to find the frequency of the past.
Captain Midnight.
Where the classic stories of mysteries, sci-fi, thrillers, and suspense are found waiting to be heard once again.
Another case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
You'll find a variety of those stories here, in their original form, where each episode takes you to another place or time.
The Man of Bronze, Doc Savage.
But only when you find the mystery frequency. Available everywhere.
The Shadow knows.
Did you hear what I said, Harry? She predicted my death.
So?
That doesn't make you happy? Someone wanted to murder me?
You live to tell about it.
Ah, you're right. My being alive is a spoiler.
Excuse me. Mr. Hood wanted me to give you his deepest regrets that he had to leave on an urgent business matter. But he has opened a tab and suggests the two of you have dinner.
So wait! You hear that, Harry? Free dinner!
Who cares?
Come on, let's get some food into you.
Miss?
Yeah?
Well, it is customary at the act break that Mr. Bartell read his copy. For Petri wines.
Petri wines? Ha! If that watered-down grape juice were actually any good, why they gotta sponsor a second-rate radio show, huh? Might as well be Coca-Cola the way they beg a bunch of brain-dead nobody to buy their bottled sewage.
Was that the copy?
No. Here.
Harry, come on now. Just read this real quick, okay?
Forget it! Garçon, my table!
Miss?
Sit him somewhere in the back. I'll take care of this.
Right this way, Mr. Bartell.
Don't touch me! If my own mother never touched me!
That wasn't me, sir. That was your own arm.
I don't touch myself, either.
Hopefully not in public.
Miss?
Just sit him down. I'll hurry. Okay, Petri wine. Petri Muscatel is really marvelous. In fact, I'm willing to bet you like everything about it. And say, if you've ever tasted plump, luscious muscat grapes at their sun-ripened best, and who among us hasn't tried muscat grapes at their sun-ripened best? Well then, you know what to expect when you taste Petri Muscatel. Way to sell it, guys. And you'll like Petri Muscatel after dinner, by itself, or served with cake. You know, I've never really known how to pair a wine with cake. Just be sure it's Petri. Petri Muscatel. Because Petri wine is always good wine. Ugh. Reading this week after week, it was only a matter of time before Harry lost it.
I want chicken!
Miss!
Harry! Let me tell you what happened next in my story. It was 4 days after Julia's prediction.
Ah! Oh, sorry, Madison.
Dude, you got me locked up in your store full of creepy tribal masks. I might as well be waiting to be murdered in a carnival funhouse.
Well, it's been 4 days now. Maybe Miss Hayes isn't as accurate about her future predictions as we first surmised.
I thought for sure by now I'd be zapped into the next radio show. That's how I'm usually saved at the last minute. But if this murderer is just gonna drag this out, I could be stuck here until the end of the golden age of radio. Then what's gonna happen to me? Do I go home or just cease to exist?
Stan and I haven't found any new leads, but I've been thinking about Dr. Barton.
You're not going to make me go see a psychiatrist, are you? I don't think I'm emotionally ready to handle the existential crisis that is my existing in old-time radio.
Oh, not you. I was thinking of Julia Hayes. Miss Hayes is slightly subnormal.
Subnormal? Why? Because she's foreign-born? Left-handed? Or just because she's a woman? Pick your prejudice.
I'm going off of Dr. Barton's findings. Presuming she has a lower mental capacity, I wouldn't mind giving you odds that Barton hypnotized her into performing the two murders. She'd be an easy hypnotic victim.
Once at a party, someone tried to hypnotize me, but my mind is super strong and I resisted it.
Barton definitely had the opportunity. He was the only person who was alone with the woman for any length of time between her arrival in San Francisco and her first prophecy at our meeting.
Okay, but why would he want to murder his Lodge brothers? To take over for Felton as the Grand Poobah of the Loyal Order of Boring Guys?
One thing I did discover in my investigation, the wife of Felton was a patient of Barton's. She is also a beautiful woman and no doubt is now a very rich one. I've gleaned rumors that her relationship with Barton was a little more cozy than that which usually exists between doctor and patient.
Ooh! Doctor hypnotizes one patient to kill the husband of the other patient he's boinking. Oh, that is juicy. But wait, why would he kill that Chester guy? Maybe he was secretly in love with Felton's wife too, like a rival, a love triangle. No, hang on. There's five people. A love pentagon?
I don't think it's as complicated as all that. It was probably to establish a pattern and conceal the real motive.
Two murders isn't a pattern.
Which means your death would be necessary also.
Super.
But I've read findings that say, even under hypnosis, an individual cannot be instructed to perform a criminal act against their will.
It's funny you'd say that. After the party where they tried to hypnotize me, my roommate's jewelry disappeared, and she tried to blame me, said the hypnotist had instructed me to steal it. Talk about against my will. Why would I want to take her Claire's Boutique plastic jewelry?
Well, I'm tired of waiting around. I'm going to accelerate your murder.
Pardon?
Don't worry about your funeral yet, Madison.
I'm not worried about my funeral. I'm worried about the part that necessitates a funeral.
Lieutenant Silvers, please. It's all right. I've got a plan.
You have a plan? Like your plan of locking me in your store rather than giving me the police protection that you were all over Felton about. Instead, I get sit here in a room full of African hunting spears, Japanese samurai swords, and the largest collection of knives ever compiled outside of a trailer park.
Hello, Stan. This is Greg Hood. Listen, I've got a brainwave. Pick up Julia Hayes and bring her up to Madison's apartment as soon as you can. Yes, we'll be waiting for you.
You're bringing the killer to my apartment?
Bringing her to the most logical place for the crime is the only way to test the hypnosis theory.
I don't want to be a test subject for hypnosis!
I cannot answer any more questions, Mr. Hood.
But Miss Hayes, you predicted that Madison would be murdered in this apartment. Doesn't this setting ring a responsive chord in your memory?
No, it does not. But I am deeply disturbed by the amount of dirty dishes in her sink.
Well, I wasn't expecting guests. And there is a distinct lack of dishwashers in the 1940s.
What about the clothing and wet towels all over the floor?
And dust across every surface.
It is rather extraordinary. Haven't you only been living here a week?
Okay. You're supposed to be provoking her to murder me, not me to murder all of you.
Provoking me?
Your other prophecies came true. What happened to this one?
I do not know. I cannot explain it.
Perhaps you've lost your mysterious power, Miss Hayes. Or perhaps you never had it. Perhaps you made the whole thing up. Why not admit you're a murderess who poses as a prophet?
I am no murderess. I can see the future.
You never could see the future, and you never will. But I'll tell you your future, Miss Hayes, if you don't tell us the truth. You'll end up in the gas chamber, and I don't have to be a clairvoyant to know that.
Stop talking like that. Leave me alone. I won't stay here.
Come back!
No, Stan. Let her go. A phone call I made just after I talked to you should be paying off right about now.
Wow. Maybe you are the clairvoyant.
Great. Who else did you invite to my apartment to criticize my housekeeping skills? Marie Kondo? Because I'm not getting rid of any of my stuff. You know what things in my life don't spark joy? People.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Do come in.
Gregory wanted me to... There you are, Greg. I'm still not clear on why you asked me to meet you here.
If it's to psychoanalyze me, I'll save you the trouble. My messy home reflects a creative mind, and organization hinders my life flow.
Ah, that's good to know.
Please come in, Doctor, and have a seat. Let me move these clothes.
Wait! I have a system! If they're on the chair, they've only been worn twice and are still good.
Then can you find a place to relocate them?
Lieutenant, move the empty bottles off the coffee table.
All these wine bottles. Did you have a party?
Oh, what? You've got a psychiatrist now, so this is an intervention?
It's a good thing you called me, Greg. I have rather a serious confession to make. I lied to the police.
How's that?
Lieutenant, you're stepping on my newspapers!
Well, why do you have newspapers strewn across the floor?
What am I supposed to do with them? You don't have recycling yet!
Can we get back to what Dr. Barton lied to the police about?
I said that Julia Hayes was with me at the time of the first murder. She wasn't.
Why did you lie?
Well, the woman seemed such a unique psychiatric study. I wanted to complete my examination before the police nabbed her.
Perhaps I should nab you too, Barton, for obstruction of a police investigation.
But I had to complete my study. It was for a greater cause.
He did it for science!
I'm telling you now because I learned Julia is clearly a fraud. She had me fooled. She murdered those men so it would look like her prophecies came true.
But, Greg, I thought you said that he did it because he was in love with Felton's wife.
What?
Hey, who turned off the lights?
Oh, no, you don't.
Careful! You upset the fine balance between me and the cockroaches!
Try to get the light switch.
I got it, Greg. My leg.
My coffee table.
Look out, Madison. He's got a knife.
Don't murder me.
I got the light. Why do you have books piled up by the front door?
Because my bookshelf has my shoes in it.
Well. It wasn't a he at all.
Let go of me.
Miss Hayes, you see? She is the murderess.
We've got you cold, Miss Hayes. The knife's in your hand. Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
I'm sorry you stopped me from killing Madison. I wish I'd killed both of you.
Dude, what'd I ever do to you? I'm seriously asking, because when I get drunk, I don't remember a lot.
I think we've got plenty of evidence against you, Miss Hayes. The knife's in your hand, and you admit you wished you'd killed Greg and Madison.
Yes, I admit it. You all made fun of me. You did not believe in my gift. If you had died, then all my predictions would have come true.
Oh, how could I have been taken in by such an obvious charlatan?
I'm confused here, Greg. The psychic did it? I I thought you said the shrink did it.
No, I am no murderess.
Of course you aren't, Miss Hayes.
What are you talking about, Gregory?
Under strong emotion, Miss Hayes reverts to her childhood left-handedness. She attacked me tonight with her left hand. The murders were committed by a right-handed person.
So the shrink did do it?
With hypnosis. Dr. Barton hypnotized Miss Hayes into making the murder prophecies and then carried them out himself.
But this is ridiculous. What motive could I possibly have?
You've been using your shrink couch to get Mrs. Felton to open up?
Better come with me, Doctor.
Very well, Lieutenant. I should prefer not to talk anymore until I've seen my attorney.
I'll see you in court, Barton.
Wait, Lieutenant! Aren't you going to take the psychic, too? Attempted murder?
I think I got my hands full with the doc here. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, only one arrest at a time.
Madison, it wasn't her fault. I pushed Miss Hayes into it.
Sure. Okay, then. All's forgiven.
Thank you, Mr. Hood, for your help.
Maybe to stay out of trouble in the future, you should be more careful about what you predict about the future.
Of course.
Well, I believe that closes the chapter on the Derringer Society. It was a foolish notion, I know, to want to believe in time travelers.
Maybe years from now, people will form the Madison Society. I've always felt I deserve to be worshipped. So what'd you think, Harry?
Of what?
The story? Great, so I spent all this time telling you this, and you're too drunk to remember any of it? Oh, wow. I sound just like my freshman year math teacher.
Excuse me, Mr. Bartell. There's a telephone call for you, sir.
I bet it's Greg. Maybe there's an after party.
So, miss, perhaps it's time for your check.
Bums rush. I gotcha. Hey, make sure there's a nice tip on Greg's tab for the whole staff, okay? It's his fault I got saddled with Lindsay low tolerance over here.
Well, that's just fine by me. What are you looking at, lady?
Oh, my word.
Harry! Harry, where are you going? Night, Carl. Thanks. Harry, wait! What happened?
They fired me.
Petri Wine fired you?
For failure to perform the duties of which I'd been hired.
Because you didn't read their copy? I read it for you.
Yeah, but what about all those times during those Sherlock Holmes episodes, huh? I never got to read my ad spot because you were busy making my life a living hell.
Okay, living hell is a little strong. I think it was more of a McDonald's play place, full of unintentional tortures and fluids.
No, I don't have a job, but you're still here.
Come on, we'll go talk to the Petri people tomorrow. I've been fired for being drunk on the job tons of times. I'll show you how to flirt with the shift lead to get your job back.
I've got a better idea.
Hey, sponsor dude! Let go of my arm!
Let's see how well you do against a streetcar.
Sponsor dude! Stop! No!
Hey, you two! Get off the tracks! Get out of the way!
Sponsor dude!
The Casebook of Gregory Hood started as a summer replacement show in 1946 for The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, still sponsored by Petri Wine. However, the series continued into the next year when the ABC network ran into complications with the Conan Doyle estate and were delayed in bringing Sherlock back to the airwaves. After that, the series would have a full season from 1949 to 1950 and would further continue to pop up in various summer slots. This, of course, led to several different actors portraying the San Francisco importer and amateur sleuth. Our episode of The Derringer Society featured Gail Gordon, who had a lustrous career in radio comedy and is known to later audiences from his television series playing Mr. Wilson on Dennis the Menace and as Mr. Mooney opposite Lucille Ball in The Lucy Show. Hey, everybody, this is Jeremy. Thank you so much for listening. We want to give a big shout-out to Seta for recommending The Casebook of Gregory Hood to us. You are, as Madison would say, amazing! I know Madison would really appreciate it if you gave us 5 stars, maybe a nice review, or just shared us on one of your favorite social media platforms. Sorry she isn't here at the moment. I'm sure she'll be back soon. So now I guess I'll just read the credits. Okay, this I got. Medicine on the Air was written and produced by Chrissy Talon Sage with music composition and audio engineering by Jeremy Sage. The role of Madison Standish was played by Chrissy Talon Sage. Jerry Kokich appeared as Gregory Hood. Other actors in the cast were Paul Arabisi as Lieutenant Stan Silver, Julie Hoverson as Julia Hayes, Scott R. McKinley as Dr. Barton, Tom O'Connor as Alfred Chester, James C. Taylor as Richard Felton, Bran Peacock as Carl, Steve Jun as the bartender, and David Pinion appeared as Harry, sponsor dude Bartell. Thanks.